Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
He's willing to make amazing changes in our life. I think of Jesus stopping the funeral procession that we spoke about just a couple weeks ago and just touching the boy, and he coughed and got up and he presented him to his mother. He just made a divine interruption, and maybe God just wants to make a divine interruption in your life and in my life today. It's Pentecost Sunday where we celebrate the birth of the church. Yeah, and I'm happy about that. Thank God for Pentecost. Thank God for that day when Pentecost was fully come. They waited for centuries for Pentecost to come. But then the Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. I'm thankful for that day. Welcome to God's house. I read to you one verse before you're seated from Acts 2 and verse number 39. This is a response, part of the response of Peter to the crowd. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And my title this morning is, The Promise is Alive. It's still alive. Thank you for standing in honor to the Word of God. You may be seated. Thank you for worshiping God. I feel the spirit of revival. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and welcome to the first service. I'm glad you're here. We're trying to fill in this first service so we're not so crowded at the second service, and that would be great if we could have more people at the first service, but we understand those that have children need to be here for Sunday school, but you're here, and that's very important. And at the end of my remarks, I'm just going to invite us all to come to the front and celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It's time for celebrations. Have you ever been to a birthday party? Anybody been to a birthday party? I mean, I'm talking, maybe in the last 6 months you've been scaredy cats and you haven't, but come on, we've been to birthday parties. Remember at birthday parties when they spit on the cake and blew out the candles and we still ate it? Yeah. And we didn't die, right? We know, you know, the kid, okay, hey, the kid's blowing the cake out. But we didn't care. And there were things that we did as adults that seemed a little goofy. But the fact was, is that it was that child's birthday and we were celebrating them. We weren't celebrating us. And when we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, got to put that back on because my granddaughter's tore it off. When we celebrate that baptism of the Holy Ghost or the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, we do this in honor of the fact that our Heavenly Father poured out His Spirit upon all flesh so that we could have His Spirit so that one day when this life is over, it would give resurrection to our mortal bodies. There are days that you and I have lived and events which have slipped into the blind side of our memory, and we rarely think of them. And there was something interesting that happened in our house. My wife used to babysit a boy, and he had to take medicine, and it was a little dinky tiny pill, and she tried to hide it by crushing it up and putting it in his food, and he wouldn't eat it. And the only way that we could get him to do it is swallow it whole. And the other day I was eating my breakfast and I had a little applesauce, and because I'm going through my second childhood. And so I had a little applesauce, and as I was eating my applesauce, my wife brought up a pill and gave it to me. And I hadn't thought for years of her giving Connor that medicine, and I chuckled to myself, and I said, she said, what? And I said, oh, that just reminded me of when you tried to hide his pills in his food. So some memories just slip out momentarily because, you know, the time is right. But there are other things that we will remember forever, that we don't need anything to prod us, but we remember that again and again. One of those things is the pouring out of the Holy Ghost. Does anybody remember the day when they first received the Holy Spirit? Has anybody forgot that day? Never. Never. We just can't shake that from our mind. June 1st, 1969. I know that was a long, long time ago, but I will never forget when that happened. I'll never forget when all of a sudden I realized I was worshiping God in a language I did not understand, and He had flooded me with His joy and His peace and His love. For those of you who have come expecting to receive the Holy Spirit for the first time, if you do today, this will be one of the most memorable days in your life. And so that was 52 years ago that happened to me, but I can remember it like it was yesterday. I know who was next to me at the altar. I can tell you what the carpet looked like. I can tell you what the preacher preached on that night. It was something better, something better. It was a missionary, Brother Dykes, a missionary to Europe who's passed on since now. But I can tell you so much about what happened at that night because it was memorable. It was something that I had waited for a long time. In a radio interview, an interview asked our bishop, David Bernard, the bishop of the United Pentecostal Church International, he said, "Everyone has their own experience with God. How can you say that everyone must be baptized in Jesus' name and receive the Holy Spirit with the sign of speaking in tongues?" His answer was, "It's true that everyone has a unique personal experience with God. However, we must have the same foundation. And the Bible teaches that repentance and baptism in Jesus' name is for everyone. We just read it. It's for you, for your children, and all of those that are afar off." What that means, it's for you Jews, it's for all the generations that succeed you, and it's for all the people that are not Jews. I'm so glad God included the outpouring of the Holy Ghost for you and I, because I don't know any of us that are of Jewish descent. We're Gentiles. The scripture setting that we are just going to read from is Jesus is standing on the Mount of Olives, and He's delivering words that are pregnant with promise to the disciples that had followed Him after the resurrection. This is likely a similar spot or the same spot from which He delivered His original sermon, which was the Sermon on the Mount, which included the Beatitudes. Now, if you're this way, this is what you'll receive. If you're this way, now He's going to give the power to live that out. In Acts 1 and 4, it says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me." So He commanded them not to leave until they had received the promise of the Father. Verse 5 reads, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Jesus makes it very personal for you and I. In verse number 8, He says, "But ye shall receive" what? "Power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." One of the empowering facts of the infilling of the Holy Ghost is we want to tell everybody about receiving the Holy Ghost. It's like when I was a kid, I remember going to school the next day and said, "I got the Holy Ghost." And my teacher looked at me like, "What?" "Whatever it is, I hope it changes you, kid." You know, but I got the Holy Ghost. One of my granddaughters did that. They did that, and their teacher's like, "What's the Holy Ghost?" And they're in a Christian school. People don't understand, but we want to tell people that we got the Holy Ghost. There's things that we get it, and we want everybody to know that we got it. That's one of those things. The fulfillment was just over a week after He said, "Wait." And they did several things. They went to the right place. This upper room was likely the place where Judas betrayed Jesus and gave Him the kiss. But now we're going to see the restoration. They prayed and they waited. and they received. You see, they went with great anticipation. They did what he told them to do. Their focus was, we want the promise of the Father. Oh, I want the promise of the Father alive and well in my heart. They weren't just sitting in a room wondering what was going to happen. They were sitting in a room waiting for the promise. And we have all received promises of our fathers or other members of our family that love us or friends. And we anticipate those things. It's like the boss. He comes and you start working on a Monday and everybody gets their paycheck on Thursday but you. Because you have to work another week before you get your paycheck because they're paying a week behind. And when the next Thursday comes, oh, and you see the boss walking around with envelopes, you're ready and you're waiting. I learned a lesson a long time ago. It was 30-some years ago. I worked at a place where I heard that they gave bonuses at Christmas time. And I hadn't worked in a cabinet shop that had done that. And I was working and I saw out of the corner of my eye, the owner and the co-owner were walking around through the shop. And I just kept my nose down and kept working. And he says, "Hey, don't you want your bonus?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Look at me." And I looked at me and he slipped an envelope into my hand. Well, I didn't work there for very long, but when I went back years later, when it came Christmas time, I looked him right in the eye, expecting to receive and said, "Thank you, Don, for the bonus." He wanted me to look at him with expectation. Jesus wants you and I to look at him with expectation today because he's already promised it. It's that time. And verse 1 of Acts 2 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance or the ability to speak." So when the time for the promise came, when it was time to hand out the bonus check, when it was, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, and Dad said, "Okay, we're going to open presents," guess what? We came a lot quicker than we did to do our chores. We came a lot quicker than we did even for dinner time. Why? Because we were going to receive gifts. We were going to see what was under that wrapping paper. That's the way we need to come to Jesus. But I am so glad we're not waiting any longer. But he poured out his Spirit upon all flesh. When he poured it out, how do you unpour something? You just can't do it. It's already out. You know, there's some things you just can't collect and get back in the box. It's like, how do you unring the bell? You just can't do it. So God has poured out his Spirit, and it's continually being poured out. Just like he spoke, "Let there be light," there's still light. Just like he spoke the order into our universe, it's still there in order until he speaks it to be gone. By way of explanation, Peter makes this declaration in his sermon addressed to the crowd that is gathered into the street to observe and to speculate as to the reason of this commotion and this unique behavior on the rooftop. And he preaches them quite a sermon. Am convicted, and in Acts 2 and 33 it says, "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear." This was without doubt the promise that Jesus and the prophets had declared would come. They were witnessing a long-awaited and clearly promised outpouring of the Spirit of God upon all flesh. There were times in the Old Testament when a prophet was empowered by the Holy Ghost, but now it's on all flesh. There were select individuals that were empowered by the Spirit, but he says, no, I want everyone to have the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so these people were kind of convicted. You know what that is, you know? Convicted is when the judge says you're guilty, but conviction is when they realize that they did something they shouldn't have done. They had crucified the Lord Jesus, and they asked this. In verse 37, it says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? In other words, what's the remedy for this? What's the solution to get rid of our guilt? What can we do in order to remove this guilt and this burden from us? And in verse 38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye what? Shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you have not yet received the gift of the Holy Ghost, that baptismal is warm and we're ready to baptize somebody second service already. But the Bible says if we repent, if we in godly sorrow turn from our own desires to His desires and we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're promised the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's an absolute promise. It's like, if you wait till Christmas Day and you're a good boy and you get up and eat your breakfast, then you can open your presents. Well, at our house, we open the presents first, so much for breakfast. But there are qualifiers in our world, and we just have a few simple qualifiers. I submit to you the words of Jesus spoken to the religious leaders seeking His advice at night in John 3. You may ask, well, do I need the Holy Ghost? Why would you not want the Holy Ghost? It's like, hey, there's a new Ferrari sitting out front. You want the keys? Nah, don't need the keys. Oh, really? You're right. Not unless you want to drive it. But if you want to drive it, you need the keys. You need that which connects you to the power. And that's the way it is with God. Do we need the Holy Ghost? You don't have to have the Holy Ghost. But if you want to be born again, this is what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3 and 5. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He says, the only way you're getting into the kingdom is the water and the Spirit. More than a decade later, the Apostle Paul confirms the words of Jesus. These words affirm the fact that the early New Testament church taught the necessity of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The pointed words of the apostle give us pause to consider our own intimacy with Christ. We mention Romans chapter number 8, and while we read verse number 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells where? In you. It's not about Him being around us. It's about Him being in us. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Well, that's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? So do you want to be His? Then you have to have His Spirit. You have to have His spiritual genetics. It's like, no, if you want to be mine, well, you got to be born of the Spirit. Verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And here's the caveat in verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised up Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. I am so glad that He has given life, and He's talking about eternal life. And later on it says it will quicken our mortal bodies. Yes, if we're dead, that's what happens. When we die, if we haven't received the Holy Spirit, it's appointed unto man wants to die, and after that the judgment. But if your sins and my sins are judged by repentance and baptism into the name of Jesus, they're covered by the blood. When death comes, it's going to be momentary, and then the Holy Spirit will raise us up to live with Him. That's exciting. Amen. You know, it'd be horrible to get to an event and not have the right ticket. Maybe you've done something like that. You show up and like, I was flying this week. I was just gone for 36 hours, but I got on the plane and I saw somebody and they said, "Hey, I'm in 9C." Well, I'm in 9C. One of them had a paper ticket and one of them had a digital ticket. One of them was flying standby, but one of them wasn't. And they had to move the guy from 9C that was had the real ticket. Now, it did all right for him because he ended up in 1B, which is first class. So he moved out of the extended leg room into the fat boy seat, you know, where everybody's comfortable and you can roll around. But they wanted to know who had the ticket. Is the ticket right? I got on the plane years ago and I said, I was wondering what happened. We were all going to a family reunion and everybody else was in one place of the plane and my seat was way up front from theirs. And I walked on and I said, "Hey, I think that's my seat." And they said, "No, it's my seat." I said, "Well, my name's Steve Hansen." And he said, "My name's Steve Hansen." I said, "You changed it because you're running around on your wife and you're just cheating and using my name. Quit using my name." Now, he got a little irritated at that. I probably shouldn't have said it that way. But come to find out, he was in my seat. But he was willing to trade the seat that was by my family and stay a long ways away from me. But you got to have the right ticket to get on the ride. Jesus is looking for the right pass. It's His Spirit dwelling in you and I. It's not that we went into His presence and we felt really good, but His presence came into us, and that does feel really good. The Spirit is for you. If you read Luke chapter number 11, Jesus is telling His story. He says, "If you want the Holy Spirit, ask. Your Father won't give you a serpent. He won't give you a stone, but He'll give you the Holy Spirit if you'll just ask Him for it. He's just waiting for you and I to ask. Our mind tells us we're unworthy. Spirit tells us we're undeserving, but if we repent and are baptized, His Word says He will fill us with the Holy Ghost." Now, the comment to the crowd and the declaration to the crowd on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and 17 from Peter was, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams." I've heard people say, "Well, I don't have to speak in tongues." Well, he said, "They'll prophesy." Have you prophesied? Well, not unless you speak in tongues. Because the gift of the Spirit gives you the gifts of the Spirit. There are other things that come along with it. You know, I'm just thinking of a Christmas gift I got long ago. It was a slot car track. Anybody ever heard of a slot car track? You got to be old to have had a slot car track. Oh, well, maybe not. Because it actually had a slot that the car sat on. The track wasn't any good without the car, and the car wasn't any good without a track. Now, I had a car before I had a track, but that was because there was a hobby center at Buttrey Shopping Center, and you could go in there, and you could race your car on their track that was like six-lane ride. Some of you are shaking your heads. You remember some of that, and you could go and compete with people, so you'd beef your car up, but you could only race when there was a track. You've got to have the Holy Spirit in order to move toward God. You've got to be on His track. You've got to be where He places it. This is not a freelance thing where we say, "Well, God, I'll just get to heaven any way I feel like getting to heaven." He says, "Oh, no, there's only one door. There's only one road. There's only one plan." And we read our opening verse in verse 39, "For the promises to you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call." Is God calling you? Do you feel His Spirit calling you? Is there something drawing to you? Then it's for you. As we mentioned, God doesn't give hollow promises. Luke 11 and 13, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children." How many evil people are there in here? It's a comparison thing. And the Bible uses that. He says, if you don't hate your father and mother, you don't love me. In other words, the difference between our love for humanity and our love for deity has got to be extreme. And he says, you know, you don't give your kid a serpent if he asks you for meat or egg. You don't give him a stone if he asks for bread. And he says, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So today, we're going to take time in just a few minutes to ask him for the Holy Spirit. Even if we've already had the Holy Spirit, God, pour out your Spirit upon me again. We have a ticket. The time's all right. The time was stamped. The day of Pentecost fully came. He's poured out His Spirit. It's unrelenting. It's uninhibited. It will continue to be poured out. And we can say, oh God, just keep pouring out your Spirit. I have. I've dumped it out. And there is a limitless supply. Consider the general character of the crowd that gathered. Most of them had been present at Judgment Hall just a few weeks earlier, and many of them 7 weeks before had cried, crucify him! Crucify him! Some had hurled accusations at the Master. Some were the priests who had conspired to murder Jesus, but they were all sinners. Just like we were when we came to Jesus. And without His grace, we'd still be in our sins. I return to Acts 2 and 38. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. So He doesn't say, oh, you pay, you don't. You pay, you don't. No, He says, you all repent. Why? Because He's a holy God and we are unholy. He's a sinless God and we were sinners. So we're going to take a time in just a few moments to repent. So, but Pastor, I've already repented once. Oh, you only sinned once? Okay, you're free. No, that's not the way it works. We were sinners, and we sinned many times. We must obey Acts 5:32, which includes the willingness to be baptized. Acts 5:32 tells us the reward of obedience, and we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. No, He doesn't just willy-nilly throw it out. Where did that saying come from? I don't know. It's not just, here, whoever wants it, whatever. I don't care. No, He says, if you obey me, I'll pour out my Spirit. If you repent, I'll be ready. If you're baptized, I guarantee you, you'll receive the Holy Ghost. And we must have faith. In other words, we must believe that He's really going to give it. It's just like the old man that owned the company and Don walking by and I'm still working away. And he says, well, don't you want your bonus? It's like God's showing up and saying, don't you want your bonus? No, not really. Don't you want the power? Nah. Don't you want the power of eternal life? Nah. Okay. It's not for you. But if you want the power, if you want eternal life, if you want the Spirit of God in you, then you must have faith. Matthew 21 and 22 says, in all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Sometimes we ask God for things that we don't think He'll really give us, right? It's like, it says, what do you want for Christmas? Eh, I don't know. A new boat. I mean, like one of those midnight specials, you know, with the four 450 horsepower outboards behind it, you know. Anybody want one of those? How many have asked that for their birthday? No, because the people that are at your party can't give it. But if you knew the right person was there, that's what we're asking for, because He can give it. And as you stand, I want you to just consider a few things. Since God has already made the promises available, it's up to you and I to receive. It's up to you and I to decide if we're going to repent and believe. You see, there was a woman with the issue of blood, and she was healed.
Remember the story? Jesus is walking along and he's pressed in the crowd. He's going to somebody else's house with the intention of doing a miracle. And Mark 25 and 25 says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. That's quite a statement. And had spent all that she had and was nothing the better but grew the worse. When she heard that Jesus heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. She decided when she would receive. Because the healer was there walking among them. You know, God's not going to force you to receive the Holy Ghost. He's not going to force you to be healed. So you can be healed. Don't want to be. Might lose my unemployment. Might lose my disability. Don't want to be healed. No. Do you want the Holy Ghost? Who wouldn't want the Spirit of God living inside of them? The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So she comes in the crowd and she reaches out and touches him. She decides, he's here, I want to be healed. And immediately, she was healed, and he turns around and says, who touched me? And everybody says, Jesus, everybody is pushing on you, and you're saying, who touched me? But you see, there's something about the heart of desire. Everybody can be speaking with other tongues as Spirit gives utterance, and all of a sudden you say, me too. He says, that's what I was waiting for. And he stops and says, okay, right now, there it is. It's yours. If we can approach him that way this morning, and perhaps it's been a while since you've been renewed in the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, you could say, okay, God, I need a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. You know, it's like after you were locked down with your COVID and you finally got to go outside. It says, oh, you know, I've been seeing people all over without masks. And I says, oh, that's who's been waiting on me. Oh, I thought I knew you, but I haven't seen you for months because we're all covered up. And when you finally get to take it off, I flew on the airplane. I had my mask on for like 14 hours that day. Boy, breathe deep. Felt that fresh air when I got out at about 11 o'clock at night, and it was just like, I'm home, and I smell the Portland rain, and I smell that and say, yes, it feels so good. And that's what happens when God comes in. And maybe we haven't been free in the Holy Ghost for a little while, but God's going to pour out His Spirit today. Because the pitcher's already turned upside down. We just need to get under the location where the Spirit is flowing, which is where repentant people are, which is where baptized people are, which is where expectant people are. And so if you want to be renewed in the Holy Spirit or receive it for the first time, I'm going to welcome you to just come up to the front. And just so you know, most of us have been vaccinated or already had COVID. And so we can't give it to you. And you, I'm not worried about you giving it to me. But I welcome all of us who want to just come stand around the front. The ones that come first, just stand as close to the steps as you can, because then it leaves plenty of room for others. That's right, Brother Joe, toes against the altar. I want to be renewed in the Holy Ghost. Now, it doesn't exclude you being out there, but can you imagine there were 120 people in one room? There were only 13 there a few weeks before when Judas dipped the sop and then went out at night. Now they got 120 of them crowded in. And they were all sitting there. I don't know where they found that many chairs. They must have rented it from United Rental or something. Or maybe they're sitting on the floor and they're praying and they're expecting. And all of a sudden, that comes in. And I wonder what they were thinking. If sometimes they were saying, please God, if I'm in the way, just get out of the way, whatever is there. And so I'm going to pray a prayer of repentance, that if some of you have been a little shy, you'd like to come now while we're all got our eyes closed, you're welcome to come. Dear Jesus, we don't want anything in the way between your spirit being poured out into our beings. I don't want any restriction, God. And so I pray a prayer of repentance for all of us who are in this place, that any sin of neglect that has been committed, anything we failed to do, forgive us, God. We want to live pleasing to you. If there's anything that we have done that we should not have done, cleanse us, oh God, in your spirit of forgiveness. You said you have not because you ask not. And so we ask for that spirit of forgiveness. We ask for your grace to come and forgive us. We ask for your cleansing to come. And Jesus, I pray that a spirit of forgiveness would be in this place. And we're going to forgive others so that we can be forgiven by you. And now let's begin to praise him and thank him for the outpouring of his spirit. Let him flow through you again. You may speak with other tongues again, and his spirit flow through you. Thank you for your spirit.